This morning's scripture comes from Luke chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, and 21 and 22. You can find it in your pew Bibles on page 1594. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. And he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. In you I am well pleased."
A man named John. This actually sounds more like a title for a Western movie than it does a sermon, but it's what we got, and we're going to talk about John the Baptist today. And you know what's interesting? Not all of you fall in this category, but there may be some of you out here that don't know the difference between John the Baptist and John the Apostle. I know that there are people who have asked me that question. Are they the same guy? And I'm, no, they're not. So we're going to look at just really quickly the relationships that we have. And it's not working again, Carlos. I don't know how to use this thing. So, Ashley, can you go to the next slide? Thank you. So, Johns, and I know this is hard to see, but if you look in the middle, you see John and John. The one on this side is John the Baptist. Now, he's the progeny of Elizabeth and Zechariah. And you know, Elizabeth was the cousin of Mary, the mother of Jesus. So that's John the Baptist. On the other side, you got John the Apostle, who was the son of Zebedee, as was James, John's brother. James wasn't the guy that wrote the book of James, though. That was James, Jesus' brother, that wrote that book. But John, the apostle, he actually wrote a lot of books that are in Scripture, and those are the ones that we're going to look at some today. So that's the Johns, right? You got John the Baptist and John the Apostle, different people completely. So next slide. So John the Baptist came from this miracle birth. And there's a handful of miracle births in Scripture that we've talked about before. When we looked at the book of Samuel, we said Samuel was a miracle birth. There were these ladies in Scripture throughout time that were barren or old and couldn't have children, and all of a sudden God did a miracle. And a miracle baby was born. John was one of those. Next slide. Zechariah, John's dad. "Your prayers have been answered. They've been heard." And this is an angel that's talking to Zechariah. So Zechariah was a priest, and he was serving in the temple, and all of a sudden, this angel appears to him. Anybody ever had an angel appear to them? I haven't. I really wish they would sometimes, so that'd be cool. And he says, "Your wife Elizabeth is going to bear you a son, and she'll name him John." And you're going to name him John, right? And the rest of the story is Zechariah, being an older guy, kind of scoffed at the angel and said, "Really? I'm old. My wife is older. Are we really going to have a child?" You know. And because he didn't believe the angel, you guys may know this, the angel made him mute. So Zechariah goes into the temple, able to speak, comes out of the temple, mute. The lesson here is if an angel tells you something, trust them. Don't scoff at the angels. So John, for the entire pregnancy, Zechariah is mute. And when it comes time to name the child, he writes on a tablet, John. And he can speak again miraculously. So next slide. In John, the Apostle's, John's book, the Gospel, John the Apostle says of John the Baptist, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." Next slide. He came as a witness to bear witness to the light that all might believe through him. And you can't even believe through who? Well, John the Baptist. Because John the Baptist, you may not know this, but he had quite a following. John the Baptist had a lot of disciples, many of whom ended up following Jesus because John pointed them to the Son of Man, like the song said. Next slide. In Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew recalls the Isaiah scriptures, the prophet Isaiah, where Isaiah says, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, preparing the way, make the pathway straight of the Lord." And even when John is being asked, John the Baptist is being asked about, "Who are you? Are you Elijah? Are you a prophet? I'm trying to figure out who you are." This is the Pharisees and the Sadducees talking to him. And even John says of himself, "I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness." Next slide. And Jesus, what did Jesus say about John? Jesus said, "Truly I tell you that among all people born of women, John is amazing. No one has arisen to greater stature than John the Baptist." Now, you got to think about this. Jesus is including people like Moses, people like, you know, David, people like Joseph, even some of the patriarchs like Isaac and Abraham. Nobody is greater than John the Baptist. And the neat thing is, Jesus uses this in one of his many contrasting statements about the kingdom of heaven. You know how Jesus would always say, "The kingdom of heaven is like..." Well, he says, no one is greater than John the Baptist, but then he goes on to say, "But even the least of those in the kingdom of heaven are greater than John." So there's a contrast thing here. Next slide, please. So let's set up what was going on when John the Baptist hit the scene. Okay? It'd been 400 years of silence, which means no prophets of God. For 400 years. Malachi said his bit, and then nothing. God went silent. But it wasn't a silent time in history, by any stretch. The Israelites had been released from Babylon, and they go back to Jerusalem, but they're vassals of the Persian Empire, until a guy named Alexander the Great comes along. Alexander the Great, he was Greek. He came from Macedonia, and he conquered the known world, basically. And on his way down to Egypt, he passes through Jerusalem. There's even a story that the high priests met Alexander the Great outside the city walls with the prophecies of Daniel and said, "Look, this is you." And because Alexander the Great actually recognized himself in the prophecy of Daniel, he didn't sack Jerusalem. He let it be. How cool is that, right? But then after Alexander died in 325 AD or so, he didn't have an heir, so four of his generals split up his empire. The two we're concerned about are Ptolemy and Seleucus, and that's because they were on either side of Israel. You had Ptolemy down in Egypt, Seleucus up in Syria, and they were always fighting where? In Israel. Lots of blood spilled because these two guys wanted more and more territory. But because of the Greek influence, the Hellenists came about. Are you all taking notes? It's going to be a test. The Hellenists came about, and the Hellenists were a group that wanted to be more like Greece. They wanted to be more Greek than they were Jewish. And from that, you got the Pharisees. Pharisees means to split apart. Pharisees became the entrenched, "We're going to do things the Jewish way, all the laws, everything." And then the Sadducees, which followed the Hellenists and became the progressive wing of Judaism. Imagine that, a conservative, impressive, progressive wing in churches, right? That never happens. It happened then. And then, oh yeah, there was the Romans that came along, and they built aqueducts and roads, and they really actually made the life of the people that in the areas they lived in and conquered a little better because of what they brought, even though this Pax Romana, the peace of Rome, meant that everybody was subject to Rome. So a lot happened in those 400 years, and this is what John the Baptist steps into. He steps into an area that is this run by Rome. There's a king on the throne, which is kind of interesting. It's one of the descendants of Esau, which was one of the other miracle babies, Esau and Jacob, right? And Herod is on the throne, and John actually does what prophets do. John called Herod out on his stuff. You know, most prophets got in trouble because they were telling the king, look, you're screwing up. And that's what John did. He called Herod out on his adulterous relationship. And as a result, he ended up getting thrown in jail and eventually beheaded. So John was a prophet in the true sense, which means he said the truth and the people got mad because he was telling the truth, so they killed him. You know, prophets tend to get in trouble by telling the truth. Next slide. So the baptism of Jesus, Marilyn did a great job describing it to the kids, so I can probably quit now, but I won't. Jesus comes to the water, and I got to believe that John and Jesus knew each other pretty well. They were second cousins, right? And they weren't second cousins separated by states and you know, miles and miles of countries or whatever. They were, you know, basically Nazareth to Jerusalem. There was a journey there. But we know that Mary and Joseph made that trek because it's documented in Scripture that on one of those trips, Jesus stayed behind in the temple to talk to the lawgivers, right? And so we know that they made this trip, which means that John and Jesus probably hung out a little. I mean, how many of you had cousins that you used to hang out with? I did. I had a cousin that we were about the same age. Jesus and John were about the same age. My cousin lived in Indiana, but every time we got together, he and I were thick as thieves because we had things in common. You know, we were the same age. We liked the same things. So I got to imagine John and Jesus probably hung out throwing rocks at, you know, the wall and doing stuff together. Now, whether we know if John knew the nature of Jesus when he was growing up is something not cataloged, but I got to believe there was some table talk, you know. You don't have the Son of God born to, you know, your aunt and not hear about it, you know. I mean, there's got to be something that came about where he heard the story. So it's not surprising that when Jesus comes down to the water, John says, look, behold, the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world. So John knew who Jesus was. Now, in the book of John, remember we talked about John the Apostle? It says that John the Baptist didn't recognize Jesus. But the Synoptic Gospels, both Matthew and Mark, which cover the baptism fairly well, they say, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, I can't baptize you, you should baptize me. There is a recognition going on about who Jesus is. Now the thing that we have to think about is why is this important to us today? What gives? Why is it important? Well, last week we talked about the epiphany of Jesus' birth to the Gentiles through the wise men. Well, this was an epiphany to the Jews. Imagine the sky. Imagine you're on the Jordan. You're standing there. The sky opens up and you hear a voice that says, this is my beloved Son of whom I'm well pleased. And a dove comes down. And that's sort of a special revelation of God. Right? It's an epiphany. And we have people sitting here today that have had instances where God has spoken to them. We had a great discussion at Sunday school last week where one of the people there talked about sitting in her driveway and just hearing the voice of God say, I love you. after not growing up in the church, after many years of not believing, all of a sudden there's this epiphany. There's this revelation that God loves her. And we all should know that God loves us. Every one of us. And some of you, if you've known me any amount of time, have heard my story about the time I heard God speak. It was the day before I was supposed to preach my very first sermon ever. And I get a phone call from John Muir's hospital in Walnut Creek, and they said, are you Daryl McCullough? And I said, yeah, I'm going to choke up. And I said, yes, I am. And they said, well, your son Bray has been in an accident. Not the words any parent ever wants to hear. And I knew that Bray had been up on Mount Diablo climbing, and I'd lent him our Durango. So the first thing in my mind is, oh my gosh, Bray got in a car accident. And what had happened in reality was Bray had fallen 60 feet off of a cliff, and he was wedged in a crevasse on the side of Mount Diablo with internal injuries, a broken cheek, a broken ankle, ribs that were busted up. He was a mess. And he was in John Muir, and I'm having to preach my very first sermon the next day. I was in my car praying like crazy. I was praying to God, what should I do? And I heard five words that changed my life. I caught Bray. Go teach. I had a choice at that point to say, I'm either crazy or God spoke to me. Here I am today. They haven't put me away yet, so I believe God spoke to me that time. And I'm telling you what, it was terrifying. It really was terrifying. I am so impressed by actual prophets that hear God and aren't terrified by it. But it was a scary event to have an audible voice in your head that you knew there was nobody around. There are examples of prophecy around us today if we open our eyes. Have anybody heard of a treasure hunt before? This is something that's done by a lot of the churches that I deal with Praise in the Park. They gather in a room and they pray and they ask God to give them words, give them a vision, give them something. And then they go out to an area to find what they were impressed with. And I'm like, yeah, that works. I didn't believe it. I mean, I grew up Presbyterian. We don't do that kind of stuff, right? It's not part of our makeup. But when I saw the belief in these folks, I went with them. And one of the things that one of the girls had been impressed upon her was a sailboat. And they're going where? To Todos Santos. I'm thinking, you're not going to see a sailboat in Todos Santos Park. But sure enough, some guy comes walking by with two sailboats on his shirt. And the girl asked him, can we pray for you? And he needed prayer. He had just found out that his wife had cancer. So he needed prayer. This one blows my mind. Have you ever seen those little popper things that toddlers push around and they go, and it pops up the little balls? They were popular when I was a kid, but you don't see those things today very much. And that was what one of the people saw. And you got to remember, they were doing this prayer at Sanctuary Ministries, which is over off Concord Avenue. They weren't near Todos Santos. And somebody got this impression of one of these popper things. They get to Todos Santos Park, and just before they're getting ready to leave, this lady offloads her three kids from a van, one of them's pushing the popper. You can't tell me God doesn't speak to people. This is why this is relevant today. We are searching. All of us are searching. You wouldn't be here if you weren't searching. If you didn't need something to fill the hole that's inside you, you wouldn't be here. We're in an area of the world today where 60% of the people out there, when they're asked about their religious affiliation, say none. Or they say spiritual but not religious. Anybody have a friend that has gotten into Eastern religions because they're looking for something? They're doing, you know, yoga, whatever. Sikhism, I guess, is the fourth largest growing religion right now in the world, and it's very, very active right here in the Bay Area. People are looking for something. So why aren't they coming here? Why aren't they going down the street to the Catholic Church? Why aren't they going to my friend Jim's church? Why are people not coming to Jesus when they're looking for something? I don't really know the answer. I just know that people are coming here to this place. We've had people showing up every week, new people that are coming seeking, and they're coming back. They're coming back because of you guys greeting them with love. You guys welcoming them with open arms. This entire congregation getting behind the mission of loving God, loving people, and serving. They're coming back because you have opened your arms and said, come on in. The weather's fine. Have a seat. Join us. They're coming back because this family on this corner of God loves God. And they love people. And we choose to serve. And that's the relevance of this message today. People are seeking. They sought John. They asked him, are you the Messiah? He said, no, there's one coming after me whose shoes I can't tie. The Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world. And that is what Christ offers to everybody that comes in those doors. And we just need to open our arms and say, welcome. And let God do the work. Amen? Amen. Amen.